The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Of course, the Chiefs are Super Bowl favorites. Who doesn't know that? But who's my sleeper team? That's the question. The sleeper team, Raj. Chop it up with Marcus Spears on that in a little bit. I chop it up with Marcus Spears, Raj. Not just chop it up with Marcus Spears. Raj wrote in the notes, chop it up. Who's going to chop it up? You? Who else? The callers? No one can hear you, Raj. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. All right, now, on the line right now, on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, we have a guy who is a regular caller to Max and Marcellus. Perhaps the greatest hit show in the history of L.A. radio, Raj. Still have people coming up to me talking about that show, thanking me, Raj, for being back on the air. You know that's a lie because it's COVID. I haven't been in L.A. But the point is, back I am on 710. And one of our regular callers was a guy named Primo who could talk an hour straight, switching topics when he still thinks he's on one topic? Wait, Primo, what's that got to do with this? But he has something he wants to talk about now. It's Primo, before we begin, the topic is Westbrook helping the Knicks.
Okay.
What do you have to say about that?
Okay, Max. I talk to you, Max, because your right eyebrow is not raised when I give unprecedented information or unpopular minority things. And but let's get past that. With the consistent, deliberate, terrible way that Mr. Dolan handles the New York Knicks. There's no way in the world Westbrook can help them win a championship, and he's got to pay him $45 million a year for 3 years. Maybe he can make it up in concessions at Madison Square Garden, but that it sounds like...
That's only like three beers at the Garden. What are you talking about?
Huh?
That's like three beers and a hot dog at the Garden, $45
million. I'm talking about Westbrook. Them thinking about signing.
But Primo, they're not trying to win a championship at the Garden. They've given up years ago trying to win a championship. They know it's a loser organization. Everyone's aware of it. So the Knicks are just trying to stay relevant somehow. They can't. They thought, oh no, we're really going
to
do it the right way. We're going
to
draft and develop, but they can't draft and they can't develop. What?
Well, let's move to business. Is Mr. Dolan a businessman?
Yeah, he inherited a lot of money from his daddy.
Is it worth it?
I don't know.
Is it worth paying him that much money? Is he going to bring that many? The Garden is going
to
be filled.
Oh, no. You don't understand what's going on.
No.
Listen, you really don't understand, Primo, what's going on in New York right now. And what's going on is the Nets have taken over. They got KD and Kyrie.
Heck yeah.
They don't even know how they're going to give Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie minutes. So the Knicks got nothing going on. The Lakers just won a championship, as usual, right, again. And the Knicks got nothing going on.
The Lakers would be afraid. They're afraid of the Nets. I'm a Laker fan. Let me tell you, man, that lineup for the Brooklyn Nets, it not only takes over New York, it takes over the USA.
If Durant is 100% of himself. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Primo. Primo, see, I want to talk to Primo if we're going to talk Knicks, Raj. We talk it in the first hour when we're on in New York. You know what I'm saying? We're bogging down in the Knicks. It's like a nightmare franchise. If you're in L.A. right now, you want to hear about the New York Knicks? Like you need a hole in your head, you need to hear about the Knicks. The Lakers just won the championship, as usual. When I say as usual, I mean... Every era, like the Lakers just went through an unprecedented dry spell.
Man,
10 years, no championship.
Only person in LA wants to hear about the Knicks is Ben Lyons. That's it. You can't name anyone else in L.A. that wants to hear about the New York Knicks.
The Lakers. When I was a kid, you ever do this, like you play one-on-one with your brother, but you like claim you're a team, right? Like, right? Like you shout out only players from a certain team when you hit a shot, right? For me, it was always the Lakers. And I was a Knicks fan as a little kid, but I was like, hold up. New York's the biggest market in the whole world. Why are the Lakers always great and the Knicks always stink? Right? Why are the Knicks content with the second-round playoffs, but the Lakers know it's championship or bust every year? I wanted to, and at the time, actually at the time, it was like the Celtics still had the most championships. They had 13. And the Lakers had maybe half that. And I used to think to myself, right, the Knicks have two. They haven't won in my lifetime. I'm like 10, right? 8 years old, 10 years old. And I'm like, if the Knicks win every single year for this number of years, or like every other year, by the time I'm 40, the Knicks could catch the Lakers or the Celtics. Guess what?
You see this text?
Yeah.
It says, I love the show today. It's been great. You know who that's from?
Who's that from?
Ben Lyons.
Right, of course.
Told you, the only person in L.A.
Of course. But the point that I used to think, they could have as many championships as the Lakers by the year 2020, 2030. No, Knicks are still on two. They're on two still. Same numbers when I was a kid. And the Lakers, who had half what the Celtics have, just tied the Celtics for most championships. And they're about to pull ahead. Boy, it'd be a Lakers fan. I love these people. When I moved to L.A., it was like, you know, you have a lot of people, they come to L.A. and they can't give up their home team. I understand if you're a Celtics fan, you don't want to give that up. They've given you a lot back. But if you're a Knicks fan, it's like people who come to New York and they're like, I can't root for the Yankees. I just can't do it. I'll be a Mets fan. Really? You're going to subject yourself to that? And your kids? And your grandkids? People get to L.A. I can't bring myself to root for the Lakers. I'll be a Clippers fan. Brother, I got to L.A., stepped off the plane wearing purple and gold. What are people talking about? Why wouldn't you? Well, if you're going to be a transplant, why wouldn't you not? One of the great benefits is you get to be a Lakers fan. Fools. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Westbrook wants out of Houston. That's another superstar teammate. Hasn't worked out with James Harden. Can a star play with James Harden? Don't forget, when Westbrook and Harden were young and they were on that OKC team that should have had a dynasty for the next 15 years, right? Or whatever, it's been 10 years. Okay, maybe it was 7 years, 8 years. It just feels that way. But it should still be going. If you have, everyone's under 22, and you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka, and you got zero championships out of that? Oof. Presti's a great GM, but that franchise has played that city cheap. Save a few bucks, you deal Harden for a bag of peanuts. But anyway, Harden couldn't win with those guys. They did get to a finals when they were very young. He was a sixth man, don't forget, and he showed up small when they needed him most. And he hasn't been able to play with, well, listen, he has been able to play with Westbrook and CP3. But ultimately, they want it out. Who was before CP3, Raj? I'm drawing a blank. I don't think he had a superstar on that team before.
No, I went through because I saw a headline that said this is the third superstar. And yeah. I went through each team since he's been in Houston. It's like Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard. Was that the superstar?
Yeah, Dwight Howard was not a superstar. Dwight Howard, let's be very clear, was not a superstar when he was on the Rockets. Dwight Howard was a superstar with one franchise, the Orlando Magic. That's it. By the time the Lakers got him already, he was damaged goods. He was still a very good player defensively, but he was not the same. Can Harden, like, the thing about Harden is you have to play. He needs to have the ball in his hand in order to get the most out of him. And so then the rest of the team has to be calibrated perfectly to win a championship. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL. Marcus, remember, on this show, on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line, we don't keep it 100. We keep it 90. We give ourselves some wiggle room. You ready to keep it 90 with me?
Let's keep it 100, man.
100. Come on. There's no sense in that.
You know when your guy come through.
When keeping it real goes wrong. Wasn't that a Chappelle Show skit?
That was a skit, but we ain't doing all of that. We just keeping it real all the time.
Well, you can keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 90. No reason to pin yourself down that way. Listen, Marcus, Super Bowl sleepers, right? I'm thinking this. everyone's going to say the Titans. That's the best team. Like, that's the best team that people really don't think is going to win a Super Bowl. But I actually believe in Tannehill. I've seen enough. But yeah. So that's a sleeper, but I don't know if it's really. I'm talking about a sleeper that no one's talking about. I came up with the Dolphins. I know rookie quarterback, already got some running backs that are banged up, but I've seen a pretty good line. I've seen an offensive line. I've seen a defense that's super aggressive, and I've seen guys make plays when they have to. They've won four in a row, and they've beaten three of those four teams were hot teams at the time. Right? Rams coming off their best win maybe against the Bears looked dominant. The Niners went on to spank the Patriots the following week. And Arizona was hot in second place. And so I'm looking at the Dolphins. If I have to pick a sleeper, like a real sleeper, I'm taking Miami. Who's your sleeper pick?
Max, there's so many, bro. Arizona could get hot. And the way Kyler Murray is playing right now, man, he's the toughest guard in the NFL. When you're trying to scheme and game plan and do something that's going to get you in a situation where you got a shot at beating them.
You know who he is? He's like what everyone wanted Baker Mayfield to be. He's Baker Mayfield with more ability.
Yeah.
Undersized, yeah. Fast. You know, a real arm. And that's tough to beat.
Yeah, a real arm. But the thing is, Max, too, like the thing that Kyler is going to benefit from is the fact that, and I thought I'd never say this because I thought he would fail miserably as a head coach. But Kyler is in an organization where everybody wanted him.
Right.
And Baker is in that situation, too. And Cleveland, obviously, has tried to do everything to surround him with talent.
He doesn't have the ability.
And make sure he has everything. He's just, you know, like I told you, man, like I hate saying it because people think I don't like Baker. It has nothing to do with the person. It's just when I watch Baker play football, it just does not seem like it's going to ever be anything.
Marcus, what does
like
he do above average? And like I'm saying – let's talk about starting quarterbacks. By the standards of starting quarterbacks, what does Baker Mayfield do above average?
Nothing,
right? Like the whole thing of like moxie and coming through when it counts, right? If you take
Max,
a guy like Eli Manning, who never misses a snap and comes from that family and then proves it in the Super Bowl, okay. But there's one out of a million like that, right? If you're average in every respect, why are people expecting you to be great?
Bro, listen. It's been one of my toughest like battles here at ESPN when we talk about it because I can even find in times in myself where people could think like, "Damn, Marcus, why are you so hard on Baker?" It's because when you're the first overall pick, I don't hold you to the same standard as everybody else. Like, I'll beg this question to you, Max. Do we know or do we not know that the Cincinnati Bengals had their guy?
I think we know it.
We know it. We don't know if Cleveland has their guy. We don't know that. We don't know that. And just like Chicago.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? We do know, Marcus. We do know. We do know that they don't have their guy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you and I, but yeah. That's the point being is you're supposed to know by now. Like, there's supposed to be some things that he overcomes. I mean, look at bro. Burrow is overcoming so much in Cleveland. I mean, in Cincinnati, and has actually had his teams to win in position to win against people he had no.
I'll tell you a team they know they got their guy for sure. The Chargers. This dude Herbert
has
100%. Lost his damn mind.
Bro, listen. You know, it's funny, Max, because I heard RC and Dan Orlovsky said this is the closest we'll get to Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, all right, fellas, come on. Come on now. Because I've been watching Herbert, and I've been super impressed by what he's been able to do. But, Max, they not wrong, bro.
No, he's a lot like Mahomes.
He's a lot like it. Not just he's a lot like Patrick Mahomes, bro. From the standpoint of being able to improvise, right? The great ones have to be able to improvise on a level that consistently shows up. And the fact that this kid is doing it and had no reason to believe that he was playing this year. Like, this is what everybody forgets, that Justin Herbert was not the plan going into the season, man.
No.
Had it not been for Tyrod Taylor puncturing, you know, having the situation he had.
Remember, everyone playing 2 years ago, Marcus, you were supposed to tank for Herbert. Then he took a step back, and it's like, all right, he regressed. Maybe he's not the guy. But right. Now, listen, I want to get back to Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is super talented. Josh Allen has flashed at different points in this season, and you're like, whoa, that's a big arm. That's an athletic dude, a big dude. He's on a good team, a well-coached team, and those two are linking up. What do you think of the outcome?
Say that again, Max.
Buffalo, Arizona.
Oh, it should be as good as it gets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them are super elite defensively. Neither one of them are like in a final situation where they know they're going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl or anything like that. Both of them have young quarterbacks on the come up. And you look at what Buffalo went through the last couple of weeks, right? Like the whole Josh Allen situation started to die down just a bit. And Kyle is mad because he had that game against Miami. And you got two guys that are in a position right now to really stamp where they gonna land. Like where will they be when it's all said and done? And these are the type of games like we having these conversations, man, and it's because these dudes literally are the future of the NFL, and they about to go. It's so many indications. Like, it's so many things on the line when we start talking about these young dudes, man. Like, we had Josh Allen in the conversation for MVP. We got Kyler starting to ascend into the conversation for MVP. We got two teams that's trying to take hold of their division. Like, it's a whole bunch of things that's going to happen in that matchup, man. Outside of the fact, Max, that now we're to a point where you got teams vying for not only an extra playoff spot and potentially more. You got these young quarterbacks in a season when you win. If they are able to get hot at the right time, it is not unconventional to think that they can make a Super Bowl run, bro. Like, right. I would tell you, in a conventional year where there was an offseason, a training camp, and everything was like, I don't think Tampa would be this up and down with a full offseason. I don't think New Orleans would have had the problems they had with a full offseason. I believe the Seattle Seahawks would have been able to address their secondary or defensive needs if they would have had a full offseason. Like, this is the time for a young quarterback to capture what they can capture, and that's a Super Bowl, because they still have teams that's supposed to be really good trying to find their identity.
All right, Marcus, 30 seconds. Lamar Jackson saying the defenses know what's coming. They're too predictable. My take is Lamar's passing has not progressed to the point where they can beat you in as many ways as maybe a coach wants to use a quarterback. What is your take?
Max, first, they need to get help. They need to get him some help on the outside. That's one. Second, Greg Roman needs to evolve offensively. I said that, you know, I've been beating that drum. And then third, we got to find out if Lamar can make all the throws that's needed to be made where we see him needing to make them to win a Super Bowl. That's the bottom line, bro. Like,
he can make them, but can he make them consistently and when you need him to? Yeah.
Yeah, we lauded the Baltimore Ravens for building a system around Lamar and making sure that he was put in a position to be successful. Okay. Now you know you can do that. Now it's time to get to the next stage of the game, because you're not going to be Patrick Mahomes doing that. You're not going to do it.
Right.
So they better figure it out, man. And I told you, I have them in that order, because I believe in Lamar Jackson. Get wide receiver help. become more creative on offense and evolve more. And then you got to see if Lamar can do it, which I think he can, man.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Should be talking to one of the pound, but he's number one on my pound-for-pound list, Terrence Crawford. To me, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. About 15 minutes should be on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. And Bud, listen to me. It's Terrence Bud Crawford. I know you don't feel like doing a radio hit right now. You got a fight coming up. I know you're going to blow off a lot of shows. You got to do this one. He's got to do this one, Raj. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. Sign up for ESPN Plus for live daily coverage of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins continues his journey across the country in a new episode of his original series, Santa Claus. America's Caddy is the name of the thing. He just looks like Santa Claus. Covering the Masters and interviewing golf's biggest stars only on ESPN+. All right, let me explain something to everybody here, Raj. As you know, I'm a golf expert from way back.
Yeah.
Name easy three or four golfers who ever lived. Yeah. Easy. By the way, easy.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Uh-huh. I bet you he's golfed, though. Seriously, listen. The question is, can Tiger ever be the GOAT, the greatest of all time? There was a time when he was on top of the world in his early 20s, breaking records at the Masters, right? Where it was, you know, the less conservative observers were like, he's going to be the greatest of all time. The more conservative observers were like, wait, you know, like the lot can happen. And it did. And I'm not even, a lot of hand-wringing, Raj, has gone on about his kind of personal life and his mental, he changed him mentally and emotionally. He had herniated discs. It's not that complicated. He had herniated discs. I've had them. You cannot walk. It's such excruciating pain. You cannot tell your brain to override the pain. It won't happen. You can't move. I had herniated discs in, 7-8 years ago. Maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. When they herniated, I was bedridden for 2 weeks. But not just bedridden. You know how like when you have a cramp in your calf, you intuitively know which way to move your foot to alleviate the pain? Like, don't move it that way. The thing about discs, your L45S1, is there's no intuitive answer. Like, oh my God, that's the most painful thing. It's shooting through my whole body. There's no obvious way, like maybe if I move a little to the right, it'll be okay. Or any way you move will be like a lightning strike hitting your back, okay? 2 weeks I was bedridden. I missed work and everything. After that, I had to do 6 weeks of pool therapy. But when I say pool therapy, not swimming, just because it could support your weight, walking back and forth in waist deep water for like, I forgot how long every day, just back and forth. Not turning around backwards. You have to actually walk backwards for 6 weeks. So now we're up to 8 weeks before I could start walking again. And then Pilates. They said either you get surgery or you got to do stuff. You got to do like stretching and core work from now on. So when Tiger has herniated discs in the game of golf, right? Like you need to generate. That's really what happened. So now here's the question. Can he ever catch up to Nicklaus's accomplishments? And does he even need to be the GOAT? Forget about, well, why are we only counting majors? Shut up. That's what you do. Stop. Let's count less significant time. Yeah, okay. He has 15 major wins. Nicklaus has 18. So Nicklaus seems to be only three ahead. But here's the thing, Raj. You know how many times Tiger's been runner-up in a major?
A handful, maybe?
6 times. Now, okay. Many times Nicklaus been runner-up? He won 18 outright.
I don't know, but I hear he's always on the leaderboard, the top of the leaderboard.
19.
Wow.
He has 18 wins and 19 runner-up. So Tiger, if you add his number one and two place finishes, is at 21. Nicklaus is at 37. If you add third place finishes, Nicklaus is at 45 and Tiger's maybe half that, maybe a little more than half that. Tiger will never catch Jack Nicklaus. Career accomplishments, it will never happen. If we're talking about the greatest of all time is just based on career accomplishments, it'll never happen. But Raj, I don't think that's what we're talking about. When we talk about greatest of all time, is there anything LeBron could do to pass Jordan? Career-wise, he already has. We're not just adding up the value of the career. Among athletes, I'm not talking about a one-hit wonder. Like, look, Ron Guidry and Dwight Gooden were great pitchers. In their best seasons, they were among the greatest of all time, but they each had one season like that. They had many other excellent seasons, but one where you go, that's Sandy Koufax. Koufax didn't have a long career, but he had four seasons like that. There are basketball players or football players who, like, for a couple of years, they flash and go, oh, my God. But so that peak career, that peak value versus a guy who has a body of work for 15 years, whatever, tough to say that 1 year peak can outweigh a body of work of 15 years. But if you hit a peak and sustain it for 4 or 5 years, and that peak is the highest of all time, I really think that's what we're talking about when we say GOAT. I really do think that's what we're talking about. You cut it a lot of different ways. Like, are you talking about, let's take basketball. Let's draft a player. And the point is to win the most championships over his career. But since you don't know what kind of team you're going to have around him, it's the player that gets you closest to winning a championship for the longest amount of time. Well, that's LeBron James or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But if instead we're saying, look, if you have a transcendent player, he's going to have some players around him. And I'm talking about grab that dude who's going to win it every time, who's just better than everyone. That's Michael Jordan. That's what the hell we're talking about. We're talking about Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, guys like that. They're just better than everyone. Tiger Woods, when he was at his best, we get fooled because it looked like he was going to keep getting better and better and better, and at a certain point, he didn't. Tiger Woods at his best was winning the Masters by more strokes than anyone. He was distancing himself from the pack by a greater margin at his very peak than anyone ever. In my view, that already makes you the GOAT. If you're just adding up a comp, he'll never catch Nicklaus. But if you're talking about, but who is really the best to ever do it at their best, and their best can't just be like a year or 18 months, that's Tiger Woods. Look at that, Raj. I never talk golf. I'm not crazy about golf like everybody. I don't play it.
No.
And just like that, I come out with analysis like this. Wait, I'm snapping into the mic. They can see it on ESPN Plus. Snap, just like this. Like this. The best analysis you're going to hear about the GOAT conversation in golf. That's it.
I'm snapping. Go to the break because my favorite fighter should be coming up.
All right, you get to see one boxer, one of the best boxers, the best boxer. The best boxer in the world. Number one pound for pound on the Max Kellerman list.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
My number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Terrence Bud Crawford. Bud, you got a fight coming up this weekend against a big welterweight who only has two losses in back-to-back fights when he challenged Triple G and then Errol Spence in two excellent fights. And you are heavily favored, but Kell Brook has shown in the past he can really fight. What do you expect Saturday night?
Well, I'm expecting a determined and motivated Kell Brook. You know, I believe that he really believes that he can win this fight, and as he rightfully should. But come Saturday, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power and my will to make sure at the end of the day my hand is raised.
Now, Bud, you're my number one pound for pound. Part of it is your boxing ability. Part of it is you got a mean streak in you. I go back to, and your versatility as a fighter, you can do it all in the ring, forward, backward, side to side, head, body, orthodox southpaw, and everything in between. And you like to fight. But I go back to your Bredis Prescott fight, your first fight on HBO, I called that fight. and you were boxing his ears off, right? And also kind of roughing him up. And when he complained, you cursed him out and then went back to beating him up. But you were a very slick boxer at that time in your career. And as you've gotten bigger, while you still display your skills, it seems to me increasingly you've become a more kind of offensive-minded fighter. Is that true? And if so, why?
Well, you know, these guys that's bigger than me, you know, sometimes you just really got to stand your ground and, you know, show them that, you know, even though they're bigger than you, you know, you have enough power to hold your own.
We're talking to, of course, the great Terrence Crawford, my number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He's fighting Kell Brook Saturday, November 14th in Las Vegas on ESPN. By the way, what do you think about that, bud? You're fighting, you're defending your title on ESPN. It's not pay-per-view. It's not someplace where no one can see you. We saw the buzz that just came out of the Lomachenko-Lopez fight because so many people could see it. It's discussed all day on ESPN. It's on SportsCenter. How do you feel about fighting in primetime on ESPN?
Oh, it was gonna be a good outing for me. You know, a lot of people get to see who Terrence Crawford is that doesn't know who Terrence Crawford is, and you know, they get to see me put on a great show this weekend.
Now, Kell Brook is the biggest name you could get at welterweight, who you could get to get in the ring with you. The guys at the PBC, the welters in the PBC, while a guy like Sean Porter, who's always fought with heart and conducted himself that way, name checks you. Like he's not pretending you're not there. Errol Spence, for example, has talked about this is business. We have to cross this, you know, he has to come over here and da da da, and has not seemed like eager to make that fight happen. How do you get the biggest fights at 147 to happen for you, do you think?
Well, I think the fans got to demand it, and you know, don't let them go unheard. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the fans demand a fight enough, the fights will happen.
There are a bunch of good welterweights, and you can't look past Kell Brook. He's the only guy who ever beat Porter clean, I thought. I thought that was a decisive win. Keith Thurman didn't do that. Errol Spence didn't do that. Those were close fights. And so you can't look past him. I get it. But the fight in boxing, if you talk to 100 fans, probably 99 of them would say, I want Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. Is that the big fight for you eventually, do you think? We have 30 seconds.
Of course. You know, that's the fight that everybody want to see. That's the fight that we want, and I'm pretty sure he won't. But for some odd reason, you know, this fight ain't been made. So all we can do is fight the people that's in front of us.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.